I want to talk about the decisions we make and how those decisions affect us down the road. There's probably a few people listening right now who are looking at the world and the country and the situations that some of us are in, and the situations we feel like we're in collectively, or the situations that we're in individually. In my case, it's feeling the effects of high prices on fuel. And we worry about whether or not it's going to change. But in fact, this is a sea change from where we were, you know, just 5 years ago with everything that's happened. Don't need to review all that. Wonder if we're ever going to get back to where we were or where it was. And were I not a nomad on the road, a lot of that process would be excruciatingly difficult. It would be frustrating. Now, I've obviously made a few decisions of my own over the past couple of years, so we're going to talk about the decisions we make and what naturally happens as the result in Podcast 1046, the Bob Davis Podcasts. We are going to talk about higher gas prices, diesel prices, and I want to talk real quick about my guys at 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station in South Minneapolis in the Lynn Lake neighborhood, 36th Street South and Lindale Avenue. They got great prices on fuel because they're independent, and so they can pass the savings on to customers. I think it's one of the reasons they're always busy. But the other thing about 36 Lynn is the store is just great. Fresh food, locally sourced products, all kinds of cool things. There's always events going on in the summer, so go to 36lynn.com and look at the calendar and see what's coming up this summer. It's a great community place and a great place to get fuel for a little bit cheaper in Minneapolis and St. Paul, like I said, in the Lynn Lake neighborhood, South Minneapolis, 36 Lynn. Click on their banner at the top of the page of the Bob Davis Podcasts. They got links to their Facebook, their Instagram feed, all kinds of stuff, and they're great. For some reason, I feel kind of compelled to talk about decisions. And I think it's because in a changing environment, you review the decisions that you made because you're reorienting yourself. You're observing, you're reorienting yourself to a new reality, however long that reality is gonna last. And obviously the biggest decision that I made in the last 2 years was to get rid of everything, go on the road permanently, and be a nomad. And I often think, well, where would I be if I hadn't decided to hit the road? And then obviously the next thought is, well, why did you decide to do that? And I've been doing a lot of thinking about that lately. And I think this is something that would be very interesting to nomads, but also interesting to just people back in the world. Why did I decide to do this? And I've come to the conclusion that, again, I've talked about how my experience with nomads is some people are forced into it for whatever reason. Some people make a decision to find this life. In my case, I felt strongly I felt called to do this. I felt like it was, and people who know me and people who've listened to the podcast know that I was like, something said, go, just go, which is kind of a weird way to make a decision. And I've made a lot of decisions intuitively in my life. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't work out. I've made a lot of decisions without really thinking about it. And as I was walking and thinking about this a couple of days ago, I thought, I think I remember doing one of those, you get a legal pad out and you write plus on one side and minus on the other side. And it was, you know, to me, the idea that you would make a decision like this that wouldn't be intuitive is kind of foreign. But in retrospect, was it really intuitive, or was I rejecting a certain kind of life? And I always feel like there has to be appropriate disclaimers. I'm not going to make the appropriate disclaimers. I'm just going to say that I didn't want a life in a town like the town that I grew up in, I didn't want to have a driveway. I didn't want to have to shovel snow. I didn't want to mow the lawn. I didn't want to live on a street in a house, rented or owned, for the rest of my life. I just didn't want that kind of life. Going out Friday nights or Saturday nights or watching TV every night, not feeling particularly inspired. And the detail of it is, so, you know, I was in radio in Minneapolis, and when I worked in St. Paul, I worked for a station over in St. Paul, and so I lived in uptown Minneapolis, which has changed a lot in the last couple of years. But when I lived there, you know, it was a rather quiet neighborhood, but it was an urban setting. I used to joke that the grocery store across the street from where I lived was my refrigerator, because I didn't really, I had a tiny refrigerator and I didn't really keep anything in it. So, and I had a great time in that neighborhood, because every day you would, you know, kind of go to an outdoor cafe, drink some coffee, talk to friends. You'd see people on the street. And I like that urban lifestyle, which is oddly like a small town. Even if you're in a huge city, when I lived in Chicago, it was the same thing. You know, if you wanted to be anonymous, you just got on the train and went two stops up and you were in a completely different world. But in your neighborhood, you knew everybody and everybody knew you after a while, because that's just how it is. So people don't understand urban life, but, you know, they think, oh, living in a big city must be so hard or whatever. Well, you're not living in a big city. You're living in a neighborhood, and your neighborhood, your people, your place, you don't think about the fact that you're living in Manhattan, or that you're living in, you know, on the north side of Chicago, or you're living someplace like that. Suburban life is a little different from that respect. And in particular, suburban life is very different from urban life, especially if you, you know, like urban life. I moved to a suburb, a close-in suburb of Minneapolis, because after I worked at the station over in St. Paul, then I had to work at a station over on the west side of town. So I did mornings, and I wanted to be literally 10 minutes away. So that's why I moved to this town. I didn't work for the state. I didn't work for Medtronic. I didn't work for Target. You know, I didn't have the kind of job you have for your whole life, and you raise your kids, and you buy a cabin, and, you know, your kids graduate from high school and they go to college, and once you get the kids through college, then you can move up to the cabin or whatever people in Minnesota or Chicago or Philadelphia, you know, whatever those people do. I rejected that kind of life. And in the process, I have to say, and this should be typed up and really placed on the wall somewhere in every rig out on the road, nobody ever said it would be easy. Because some days are very difficult. But the detail in this decision was, I think of it as an intuitive decision, but in fact, to me, it was a decision of survival. I felt stultified. I felt that I couldn't go on. And I also changed the content of the podcasts. I used to do a lot more politics. And even doing that podcast where I talked about inflation just depressed me, because I just don't have any interest in talking about that stuff anymore. That seemingly got rejected along with everything else. But yeah, nobody ever said it would be easy. And there are very tough days doing this, just like there are tough days back when you have to live in a town because you're working at some business. So when I cringe at the price of diesel fuel right now, when I get mad because Planters roasted nuts are $6.99 a jar, I have to go back to why I decided wholeheartedly to embrace nomad life. Part of that was also starting a business. Now, I started my business before I went out on the road. And there's an interesting dichotomy. There are people who are quote-unquote businesses that operate out of RVs, and people travel and they do things. They sell stuff on eBay or whatever it is that they do. I have a creative business, which is the podcasts. And you guys all know that. I've hung out with people who are quote-unquote RV entrepreneurs. And there again, I didn't necessarily feel an affinity for the whole RV business experience. I certainly don't need, I don't need an operation center to run the Bob Davis podcasts. And I don't need, I have an accountant, I have, you know, the things that I need, but I don't need them in the truck, and I don't need a lot of equipment. Used to, still have some of that equipment in the truck, but I really don't need it anymore to do what I do. And most of what I do is creative. So I'm running a creative business, which, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, you also know that I've just reached the point where I'm not going to chase business, and I don't care. If people want to support what I'm doing, fantastic. You know, I'm not going to network. I'm not interested. I just, and part of it is, if I may just talk off the top of my head, a part of it is you have these experiences out here. And this is not a, you know, it's not, and I always have to make these, you know, appropriate disclaimers. You know, I'm not judging people who are running successful businesses from their RV. I'm kind of jealous. But at the same time, it's this whole question of money and what money is and what success is and what money does and what you get from having money and all this other stuff. And this is kind of that whole bring the nightmare to the dream thing. Which is, do you really want to make a lot of money? And then you have to think about what you're doing with your money, and you have to think about what you're, how you present yourself, and all these things that I just don't have to think about because I'm the guy in the ambulance, and it's great. So these kinds of decisions, and again, I'm not like most people for a lot of reasons. I'm not even like most nomads for a lot of reasons. So I have a business. I started the business before I decided to go out on the road. I went out on the road, obviously, because I was rejecting a certain lifestyle. That, at the core, is really what it was about, was saying, you know, I'm terrified that I'm going to end up stuck in some suburban neighborhood like the town I grew up in, and I'm just going to be, you know, bored to tears living this lifestyle that everyone seems to think is so great. And or because they have to because they had kids, or they have to because their kids are in college, or they have to because they need the money to make sure that the lake cabin is, you know, done, set up properly so that when they retire, they can move to Mille Lacs or, you know, southern Minnesota, wherever the lake is, or even Arizona or someplace like that. You know, I rejected all of that to become more of a Jack Kerouac type character, in the sense that, you know, I'm mad for an experience. I want to get out and see the country and feel that experience of being on the road. That to me is worth more in terms of wealth than all of the money in the world. So there's a decided cleavage there between the whole, I'm building a business locally, and I'm going to have to network and do all these things, and I love it, and I love working with people and everything else. You know what? I love people, but the people that I'm networking with have a little bit different approach to things, and I'm learning from those people. They, like me, are freaks, but it's a great experience. So again, the core of my decision was about rejecting a certain kind of lifestyle. And, you know, I'm gonna have to talk a little bit more about that in the second half of this podcast. One of the things I'm really grateful for it is it's getting warmer out here. People are leaving and they're heading north because they're like, oh, it's so hot here. And I think, why are you going like up to Flagstaff where it's 35 degrees, you know? But yeah, some people really prefer the cooler weather to the warmer weather. I like the warmer weather because I can do yoga, because it's hot out and in the sun, it's really hot, and I love that. But there's a lot of people out there who are working at home, they're doing the Zoom thing, or they just don't go to the gym very often, they don't do any workouts. So the people that can help you with that is BU Enterprises. They can help you get back in your body. They can help you with stress. They can help you with stretching and exercises. And they can help your whole team as well via Zoom or some other teleconferencing system. I did a session with Juliet, who is the proprietor of BU Enterprises. And at first I thought, well, this isn't going to do anything. And then I was like, you know what? This is pretty cool. So you can do these exercises right at your desk. She can see what you're doing, what your whole team is doing. You can see what she's doing, and it can help a lot of people who normally wouldn't get a chance to do these exercises right at their desk. If you want more info, click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, that says BU Enterprises. They've got a discount if you want to for the Bob Davis Podcast. You just enter Bob. There's all kinds of packages. Check it out. Click on their link at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcast, or go to BUEYOUBUEnterprises.com. Artists, people who create to create, we're always working. We're always looking at a landscape and thinking, I'm going to paint that. Or we're always thinking about people potentially as characters in a story. Or we're always thinking about what we're going to talk about in the next podcast. I'm not an entrepreneur in the sense that I want to corner market and make a lot of money and move on to the next thing and sell it. And I watch these videos of these entrepreneurs and how to make deals and do all this stuff. And it is just like, it's like sports. I don't care. I don't care who's, I don't even know who was in the Super Bowl this year. I just don't care. And it's like celebrity. I don't care. You know, and I think that's unique, because I think a lot of people care about that. And I think it's also this question of how you define success in life. I realized a long time ago that I'm not like most people at the core. I can act like most people. I can function in a certain environment like most people, and you might not even know that in my heart of hearts, I'm like, how do I get out of this? I feel like I've been shot down behind enemy lines. How do I get back to my lines and get back in the game, or whatever it is? I'm not even like most nomads. I don't really ask for advice. I don't want advice, which is pretty dumb, but that's how I am, because I like learning and teaching myself. Because I'm the guy that reinvents the wheel, because I know I'm going to need one. Just want to know, I want to experience what the guy who did invent the wheel felt like. Let's just put it that way. Because then I'll understand it. I just knew there was nothing more for me in the suburban lifestyle, again, with the appropriate disclaimers. That I'm not attacking anyone. I'm not saying if you're in that environment, you're wrong. It's not a right or wrong thing. Even more, I burned the bridge. Not in terms of relationships, or necessarily friendships, things of that nature. I wanted a fight with the river at my back. If it's a fight at all. It's a life. And you pick a path and you start walking. And, for a while you can see others on a path near yours, and eventually the path routes disperse and you're on your own. You're on your own path. And I like it that way. My objective was I wanted an unorthodox lifestyle. I wanted something different. I'm just telling you that my decision was something deep inside that said, this, you don't need to do this anymore. You need to go. And so for the first year, I drove and I traveled. And I covered a lot of ground. Really, all the lower 48 states, without even trying to do that. This is the other thing that makes me different from a lot of nomads. A lot of these nomads, meaning my crazy people, the people that I gravitate to in the Walmart parking lot, to pull in the Walmart parking lot, there's my people with their broken down RVs over there. In addition to the $450,000, beautiful Class A's and so on, the school buses and everything else. A lot of people have this, they have a goal. I want to go to all 48 states, or I want to go see all the national parks, or I'm going to do, and this is, again, you see this in Nomad Media. Well, our goal is to do this. We're Steve and Janie, and this is what we do. And everybody names their vehicle, and a lot of people have a goal. I don't know that I have one of those goals. I just wanted to drive. you know? I couldn't wait to drive. I just wanted to drive every day. I was so excited because I was like, every day I can drive. And just drive and drive and drive and drive. And then this fall I got here and seemingly halted by higher fuel prices. And that is true. They did stop me and I'm still pissed off about it. But what that did was provide a coda to the symphony of so much travel in the first year. Because if you're telling that story at some point, the end of the story is the high fuel prices. Is that going to change? I don't know. But that's not important because it provided a coda. Being stopped, I discovered a community. I made a lot of friends. These friendships have enriched me. And it's great. But now it's time to make some more decisions. Where to and when to, how far and how fast. As essentially, I am peeling another skin from this onion called life / nomad life / travel. And I'm pretty confident when I say that I wouldn't trade it. And I certainly wouldn't trade it to go back. Even to go back and you know, I've been in Quartzsite and I actually feel like I have to apologize to podcast listeners because it's like, hey, I thought you were going to do travel content. Well, this is part of the experience is being here in Arizona and these beautiful sunny, every day is like a beautiful either fall or spring day up in the northern tier, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois. It's wonderful. But it's also a whole bunch of people come here. It's a mecca for RVers and for nomad people, and there's also the usual hard scrabble bunch of crazy people that kind of just are here free camping, and I actually identify with in an odd sort of way. So I almost have to apologize for spending so much time here, but this is part of it. Being in Quartzsite from November till you can't stand it anymore because it's too hot to April, May, is part of the nomad experience because every nomad comes out here at some point during the winter just to get out of the cold. And you guys know what I'm talking about. And I drive through town and I see things and my mind's always working. I'm like, well, what if I started a business here? I could do, you know, somebody I know wanted to do an ice thing where they sold ice, or you know, how do these people make money? And I was talking to the wood guy and he was like, don't put down roots here because, you know, they don't take, meaning that your businesses have to be seasonal because there's just, you know, there's maybe 800 to 1,000 people here all summer because it's just too damn hot. So it's a very short season here in Quartzsite for businesses, unless they can serve locals, and there's a whole bunch of issues. And I don't even know what I'm thinking about that for. Even to stay here in my beloved Quartzsite, get a place, do the whole thing, well, then that would be my life, right? And that would be an anathema to basically being able to travel and say, okay, from here, the tempo is going to have to be much slower, you know, the volume a little lower just because of the fact that fuel prices are really, really high. But the key thing about all this, first of all, I think life very much is an internal journey. You're living life in this vessel. You have a soul. You have a soul journey in a way. You have wants and desires, deep wants and desires. You know, human beings are animals, but at the same time, you know, we have this ability to quote unquote think in a certain way, and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And when you travel, it's the same thing. I've been looking back over the last year and just some of the things that I wrote about traveling along the Oregon coast, or, you know, in the Yakima Valley, or the grasslands in North Dakota, or the southeastern seaboard, the Gulf, all these different places that I've seen and have been able to watch from state to state to state across the country. People deal with the pressures of what's going on. And I, believe me, while we don't, and I've said this 100 times, I don't necessarily feel, we don't necessarily, it doesn't touch us because we aren't as exposed to it. But there's a deep octave of concern and stress that is part of the American life right now, for whatever reason. I don't need to get into that. Everybody has their own theories. It gets to a deeper octave, or you could say a higher octave. When I say deeper octave, I mean not necessarily a deeper, you know, negative vibration. It's a very high vibration. You know, it's a deeper experience is what I'm trying to say, which is what I wanted when I made the decision to reject. And I don't have the time in this podcast to talk about rejecting a certain lifestyle, because it didn't do anything for me at all. So this is a deeper experience, and with all the stuff going on, no matter how hard it may seem on any given day, regardless of where we are and what we're doing, we always have choices. And we always have the opportunity to make decisions. And I'm not a motivational business coach or something. I don't know how to make decisions. I'm not going to tell you how to make a decision, because the way you would make a decision is versus the way I make decisions would be, you'd be like, you're out of your mind. And I may be, you know, but I guess what I'm trying to say is my mind moves very quickly. And I think a lot of times I think certain decisions and things that I do are intuitive, but in reality, I've taken in so much information and I'm making a decision that actually is based on information, but that is intuitive. It feels intuitive. So, you know, for me, that's the way I make decisions. I wouldn't tell anyone out there that this is, you know, and that's what I hate about these guys. Here's the way you make decisions. This is how you have to do this. You know, I have my little thing that I read, something I glean from a military book, not from any business books, because I don't read business books. And that's my thing, but that's not how I make decisions. That's something I developed on the road, the OODA loop thing, because I read about it somewhere. I didn't make my decisions that way. I was doing that unbeknownst to me, and I felt like the most important thing is just to pull the trigger. It's at some point you have to act. A decision is only part of the process. The action, taking action, is the key. I had to throw everything away and clear everything out and pay people to take stuff in order to get out of where I was. And it wasn't easy to get out, because it, you know, the momentum of where you are tries to pull you back in. And once you make the decision, it's the action that's really the important thing. But for everybody, regardless of whether you're sitting in the desert and thinking about going north, south, east, or west, or somebody that's worried about the future and worried about conditions and trying to make decisions about what to do, I think it's important to remember we do have choices. When I sit here and I think, why am I sitting here? You know, I don't know if this is a good idea. I was supposed to be doing this. I was supposed to be doing that. Then I go through everything. Well, you know, if you were traveling, you'd be spending this much money. If you were doing this, if you were doing that. And eventually, I am going to move. We're getting ready to here. And I'll probably be, you know, heading off on my own. I think the great thing is, no matter how hard it may seem, we always have choices and we have decisions to make and actions to take. Finally, very happy to welcome back Ryan Plumbing to the Bob Davis Podcast. Ryan Plumbing in St. Paul. They've been in business for 70 years in St. Paul. So there's a lot of experience and a lot of capability there. If you want reliable service, that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan goes back four or five generations in St. Paul. Those numbers have been in use for many, many decades. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thanks for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. I really appreciate you guys subscribing to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes. Like my Facebook business page. If you search it, you'll find I'm not giving you the links because it's ridiculous. But I have a business page, whatever they call it. They used to call them fan pages. I've had this for years, and I don't know what's going on. Go find the Facebook page and like the page. I appreciate that. And you can also get the Bob Davis podcast at Spotify and Google Play, which works really well. They used to call it Google Play. It's Google Podcast. Sorry about that. The whole Amazon infrastructure, Alexa and Audible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And thanks for listening to Bob Davis podcasts, wherever you listen to them. Well, telling some stories, giving you some background on whatever you would call it, the thinking. I'm not sure I'd call it thinking. But it's definitely takeaways. How do we define wealth? I feel very wealthy doing this. How do we define success? I feel every day that's where I'm out here doing this is a successful day. Because this is what I wanted to do. This was the objective was to do something unorthodox and to live a certain lifestyle in a way that really provided a daily just dose of reality at the same time a fantasy. This is what Nomad Life is like. And I love it. Thanks for listening to podcast 1046, Decisions, Decisions, the Decisions We Make.